Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
We know exactly what to expect with Kiev, don't we? They'll give 125% until they go 1-0 down, and then they'll start thinking about the week after. Campionato di calcio italiano.
Good afternoon, good evening, everybody. It's me, Dov. I'm back again, and this time I'm going to be talking about big Juventus, the big team, with Mr. Adam Digby once more. Adam, how are you?
I'm good, Dov. Thanks. How are you?
Oh, not too bad, not too bad. I'm sure I'm not as tired as you, because I'm sure you've had a very, very hectic and frantic summer with all the goings on at the Allianz Stadium.
Yeah, it's been a very busy summer, and it looks like it's going to be a very good season for Juve as well.
Yeah, well, I think we spoke before we came on the podcast and basically said it's pretty much done and dusted, really, the title. So you get number 8 in a row. You're heading close to Celtic's record and Rangers' record of 9 in a row, so you get that in a couple of years. I think your memory is better than mine, but if you cast your mind back, I think, to the last time we spoke, which maybe would have been about April, May time, sometime around then, and you said to me when we were talking about Sergej Milinkovic-Savic, you were like, you know what I want? I just want Juve to just like see when there's a really good player available, just to buy them, just to go and spend 100 million euros, 100 to it, just get them, because that's what Juve need. They didn't get Sergej Milinkovic-Savic, they got some other guy, so they did it.
They did. Of all people, it's Cristiano Ronaldo.
I bet you didn't expect that.
No, I mean, if I would have said that, you would just get laughed out of town, wouldn't you? It's incredible.
What did you think when, like, the rumour started swirling? Were you like, wait a minute, this isn't real.
Well, if you're a regular, reader of Italian papers, but if you regularly cast your eye across the front page of like Tutto Sport, you tend to see this kind of story all the time. We've had a link to Neymar, we had one to Lionel Messi, there was Sergio Aguero, and it's always the same. The story breaks on their front page as a world exclusive, and then it's followed up a couple of days later by a story that the kit manufacturer, in the past obviously Nike but now Adidas, are going to help pay for the transfer. And it's like, they're not though, really, are they? Like, what are we talking about? It's just not going to happen. And then this summer we had Juve going to sign Cristiano Ronaldo, and it's like, no, they're not. They're ridiculous. And then 2 days later it comes out, and Ferrari are going to help pay his wages, and I'm like, yeah. it's not happening. And then you start to see more and more of the credible sources start to report it, and then you get Gianluca Di Marzio, who, not everything he says comes to pass, but if he publishes a story on his website where it says they have signed player X and they're going to pay him X amount per year, then you pretty much know it's done and dusted. And he published a story like that about Ronaldo, and I'm still thinking, nah, it's not going to happen. Like, what are we even talking about? And then in the halftime of the World Cup final, I got an alert on my phone, and there's Cristiano Ronaldo is at Turin Airport, and there's pictures, and it's like, what? Wait, hang on. I missed the entire second half of the World Cup final. Just like, Juventus are signing Cristiano Ronaldo. This is what?
This is surreal.
And then I spent the whole next week trying to find out, trying to find different words to use instead of writing Cristiano Ronaldo. So I know how old he is. I know what town he was born in. I know that he's a former Manchester United player, because you can't keep writing Ronaldo, 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 Ronaldo in seven different articles. So you learn to use different words. And even now I'm like, Cristiano Ronaldo plays for Juve. It's just weird.
Well, that's the thing. Most especially Real Madrid fans didn't think he would ever leave the club. They thought he would retire there. He's obviously already a legend at the club. It'd kind of be that's where he'd finish his career and kind of win another billion Champions Leagues and whatever else. And then I think most people, if you don't know, listener people, I also do some work for the Spanish newspaper Marca, and I think a wee while before it was officially announced, we were told that it was definitely happening. And I was like, this is ridiculous. Juventus can't sign Cristiano Ronaldo. What is going on? And then when you hear the wages he's on, Jesus Christ, 30 million euros after tax.
Yeah, and that's become a footnote to everything now. I was reading a story earlier before we started speaking about Miralem Pjanic is about to sign a new contract at Juve, and it's like, he'll be signing, increasing his salary from 4.5 million a season to 7 million a season, to bring in line with other high earners like Douglas Costa and Dybala. But they still, at 7 million, but they still trail Cristiano Ronaldo at 30 million. And this is all after tax as well.
Yeah.
So he's earning as much as the five highest paid players at the club earned combined last season, when it was like Higuain, Buffon, Pjanic, Dybala. It's absolutely insane. But you look at the off-field numbers before he even plays a game, and he's paying for himself, isn't he? Like, the increased attention, the increased social media following, he's bringing in a level of attention to Juve that Juve have just never had. Mm-hmm. Yes, they've had other great players in the past with Platini, Zidane, Del Piero, obviously, but the way that the world is today with Ronaldo's like global reach as an individual, it's bringing a level of
gravitas, I think.
Yeah, to the team that's just never been there in the past.
Did you read the I think it was the KPMG financial report about Ronaldo's move to Juve, and how they were basically saying that they can now think about asking for 30-40% more in sponsorship deals and things like that. Like, the club can start doing that, so they can start getting excuse me, Adidas and Jeep, we've got Ronaldo, pay up please.
Yeah, I think the biggest problem there is the shirt sponsorship, the Jeep sponsorship and the Adidas one runs until 2021 and one runs until 2022, so by the time they're up for renewal he'll have left probably. Or he certainly won't be the player that he is today. And I think that falls in line with pretty much every... Well, I think obviously Juve will still have an increased presence, and obviously if it helps them win the Champions League in the meantime, then yes, they'll definitely be able to ask for much more in sponsorships. But I think it won't be because Ronaldo is still there. And that fits in with kind of everything else that I've been thinking and writing about over the past month since he came, is that... It opens a very small but significant window for Juve over the next two seasons, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, well, that's like with Ronaldo signing, I did want to come to this a bit later, but Andrea Agnelli was saying that Juve need to start thinking outside of Serie A, and Ronaldo is kind of, he's almost like a catalyst for that, so that they can become, from being, like I think we've said before, Juve aren't kind of in the top echelon, you're Real Madrid, Barcelona, Man United, but they're kind of in that next tier. With the signing of Ronaldo, that could push them into that top tier of European clubs. In terms, not in a footballing sense, but in terms of kind of an overall world global brand.
I think it could. I still believe firmly that trophies speak louder than anything else. I think until Juve win the Champions League, they're still not quite in that bracket for me. I think this summer seems to be like almost like a fork in the road, doesn't it? They've got to two finals in three seasons. And we saw similar kind of progress from the likes of Borussia Dortmund and Atletico Madrid. They were banging on the door, and then they fell short. And then those teams, the Real Madrid, Barcelona, Bayern Munich, came and picked off all their best players. Obviously, a few went to the Premier League as well, but largely those three big teams. And Juve were in that same position for me. And then this summer, with a team that can already get to finals and win the Serie A title quite comfortably, the level of investment and also the kind of players that they've bought, which I'm sure we'll go on to discuss a little bit more.
We'll get there right now, why not?
It very much is, as Agnelli himself said, we've listened over the past 3 years to Agnelli, to Marotta, to Max Allegri. Oh, we want to win the league, we want to win the Coppa Italia, and we want to be in the last eight in Europe because that's what the big teams do. And it's like, and then this summer he said to the squad, and he's allowed himself to be videoed saying it too, to the team at Villa Perosa last weekend, that now they have to be thinking about winning the Champions League. And that's a big change in mentality and a big shift in focus for Juve to actually come out and say that winning the Champions League is their aim. Because I think everything that they've done over the summer will make it a massive disappointment if they don't. They really do have to win the Champions League for the things that they have done this summer.
Right. Okay, well, hold that thought, because I want to come to that. I'm going to get that delve deeper. But let's look at the signings first then. So the people that they want to win the Champions League, obviously Ronaldo. Ronaldo's Ronaldo, right? But I think other ones, like Emre Can coming in, free transfer, brilliant. Cancelo, who was fantastic for Inter last season, coming in as well. We'll get another Lichtsteiner, very good. Perrin, who I think is a fantastic goalkeeper, coming in as I think probably first a backup to Chesney, but I think he's definitely got the ability to fight for the number one spot. And then the big one, the real big one, the return of Mr. Leonardo Bonucci. So what did you think about Bonucci coming back? Because obviously he pissed a lot of people off at Juve when he joined Milan and did his wee circly face celebration thing. But he's back and apparently all is forgiven. What's your take on him?
I think you're absolutely right what you say about the other players. I think Can is a typical Juve signing, isn't it? You can get him on a free. He's going to come in. He's going to improve the team. Great. I think you're absolutely right with Perrin. And I think Perrin's got that great advantage now with Chesney there, where Chesney he's been given the number one shirt. He's going to be the first choice keeper at the start of the season. So, in effect, Chesney is the man who replaced Buffon rather than Perrin. I think Perrin is a better goalkeeper when he's fit and playing at his best. I think he's a better goalkeeper than Chesney. But over the past two seasons, Chesney's been fantastic.
Yeah,
I've interviewed him. He's very level-headed, and he's obviously been panned for bad performances before, like he was at Arsenal. So I don't think he will be bothered by the criticism at all. And I think a couple of seasons probably move him on, give Perrin the number one shirt, and he can do that without the pressure that comes from being immediately the guy after Buffon. As for Bonucci, I think it's first and foremost as a footballer, it's exactly in line with the Ronaldo thinking, isn't it? He's 31 years old. He's probably now a better defender than anybody else in the squad at Juve. Even though Juve had the best defense in Serie A, I think statistically speaking, I think other teams were probably better than them, including Milan in the second half of the season with the Romagnoli Bonucci pairing. I thought they were fantastic in the last 3-4 months of the season, but obviously he comes back in. I think he brings his passing too. Not so much the long balls, although we saw a great one in the friendly this week to Ronaldo, which gives Juve a weapon that they certainly didn't have last season. But his ability to just get the ball and play it into midfield, which is something Juve really struggled with last year with Bernati and Chiellini. But then the guy himself, I mean, like you say, he didn't piss a lot of people off last season. He pissed everybody off last season. I think the only people who were angry at him who care about Juve were Bartali and Chiellini, who went on holiday with him at Christmas time. And you're like, wait, what? They're still friends? Like, okay. Mm-hmm. And I get that. Like, it's just a football club, isn't it? These guys are actual friends. They have a bond that goes beyond the colours that they wear, and that's great. But Bonucci annoyed everybody because he didn't just leave. When nobody expected him to. I mean, he looked like a Juve player for life, didn't he? Like,
yeah, he's a Juve team.
Even more so than you say about Ronaldo staying at Real Madrid. It's like, guys like Bonucci don't leave a team like Juve, you know? He's a Juve fan. He's been there, what was he there, 6 years, 7 years?
I think he's 6 years, 6.5, 7 years, yeah.
Yeah, he came summer 2010, so until 2017. And then he was a great player for Juve. He'd been captain quite a lot because obviously after Buffon, it's then Chiellini and Marchisio, and then it's on appearances. So because he played every week, he was high up there. I think he's on 300 and something already. I think Chiellini, Marchisio and Bartali are the only ones who've got more appearances than him. Obviously, he's going to overtake Bartali again pretty soon. Because Bartali's just not going to play that often. Mm-hmm. But to walk away and then to not just do that, but to force your way to Milan as well, which gives Milan all the leverage, which is why they only paid 40 million for a player who had been talked about as being a 70, 75 million pound signing for Chelsea or Manchester City, because he wanted to stay close to Turin because of his sick son. I mean, you can't hold that against the guy, but he still did that, you know. He forced his way to a direct rival, a historic rival for Juve in Milan, and a Milan team who looked like they were going to have a bit of a resurgence last summer. Mm. It really did kind of look like a move that would shift the balance of power in Serie A, and he said that's what he wanted to do. And it's like, really, you're going to actually just say that? Okay. Then as far as Juve fans are concerned, it's like, you're dead. Yeah. Like, he just means nothing anymore. And then, to be honest, seeing him come back is... as much as I was joking about being shocked by Ronaldo, Bonucci coming back to Juve is even more stunning to me. It's the fact that everyone can be okay about it is incredible. It shows great maturity on his part. I think he said at his press conference, that was very kind of wishy-washy, but he made a comment that echoed something that Suso from Milan had said earlier in the week, that he felt he'd taken a step back at Milan. On a personal level as a player, which is quite a bold admission, really, to say that being there made you a worse player. And I don't think that was just I'm not playing with Bartali and Chiellini anymore, so I'm not as good. I think that was genuinely
coaching.
Maybe not so much at the coaching, but the expectations and the pressure. I think at Juve, you have to win every week, don't you? Mm. But I think at Milan last season, particularly when they were struggling, it was never the player's fault, was it? It was never, Bonucci is terrible, what is he doing? It was much more...
what's Montella doing?
What's Montella doing? What is Mirabelli doing? Mm. And then they took away all those excuses. They brought in Gattuso, they got rid of Mirabelli and Fassone. Obviously, the club effectively got repossessed. But it's huge to see him coming back. And it really does play into, again, that same thinking that it's win now, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, that's exactly what I was going to say. Is that it's not been for example, like a lot of Juventus fans were mourning about Caldera moving to Milan. Oh, he's going to be a great defender. But like you say, Juventus want to win now. They don't want to win in 5 years' time and have Rugani and Caldera in defence. They want to have Bonucci and Chiellini and win the Champions League right now, this second. Because Ronaldo's going to be 38 by the time Rugani and Caldera probably are a central defensive pairing for Juve, if that ever comes to be. So we agree. Everything's good. Obviously, a big loss. Maybe not in terms of playing, well, maybe yeah, in terms of kind of on the field as well, but certainly in the dressing room is Buffon. Obviously, he announced then before the end of the season that he was going to be leaving Juve. Obviously, at that time, we didn't know what he was going to do, if he was going to be a director or move on. Now he's at PSG. I mean, do you think that's going to have any kind of impact, given the character that he is?
I think it has to. You know, I think I think maybe a little bit of the thinking behind getting Bonucci back as well is he was always kind of a leader. And he really was captain material before he left. I think it's very hard to see him with the armband at any time soon. I think it was very noticeable that Paulo Dybala was named vice captain in a friendly last week.
Do you think Bonucci's going to have to earn the kind of respect of everybody, like tenfold?
I think for probably the season ahead, at least. I think because for those not aware, with Juve, it's very much it's the same with the Italian national team too. That the captaincy goes to first and foremost to the captain, obviously, which was now Chiellini, and then they usually name two vice captains, which I would expect are going to be Bazzali and Marchisio. But given that Bazzali and Marchisio probably won't play all that often, it then falls back to appearances. And outside of those three, Bonucci is streets ahead of every other player in the squad. So for me, I think that what they'll do for this season is they'll count his appearances from now towards that total. And I think the 300 odd that he's made already will kind of get pushed to one side, which is why Dybala became captain earlier in the week, because he's the next in line, because he's been there longer than almost anybody else now, which is crazy to think about when he only came in the summer of 2015. I think that's the way that it will go. I think Buffon's leadership will definitely be sorely missed. And I think that to just circle back to a point you made about Caldara, I think he's a fantastic player, a player who's ready to play now. But you don't know how he's going to adapt to the pressure of being at Juve. And somebody like Bonucci is a guarantee, isn't he? And as you say, that gives it a win now.
And Juve, as well with Caldera, he's played in a back three pretty much his whole time at Atalanta, whereas Juve are probably going to play a back four. So he's kind of got that as well to try and learn a new system.
Yeah, he'd played in I think that's a warning to Milan fans too, who've probably all switched off now listening to a Chievo fan and a Juve fan talk about Bonucci. But if there's anybody still there, I think that is a definitely a point to consider with Caldera. Not last season, the season before was his first in Serie A. He started playing in about week five with Gasperini, when he decided to drop a lot of the veteran players and bring in a lot of the youngsters like Kessier and Spinazzola and Gagliardini, who we've seen move on to great things. But he played in the middle of a back three, and he was usually flanked by Toloi and Masiello, who are very experienced central defenders. And
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
And now he's going to play in a back four at Milan with Romagnoli, who's actually younger than Caldara.
Yeah, Caldara's 25, 25. He's not a youngster.
No, and obviously their first choice fullbacks are going to be
Conte Rodriguez, and probably on the
Rodriguez left. Or Strinic or Laxalt. It's not a very experienced back four, and obviously a back four that's not played together often. So, as much as I am a huge, huge fan of Caldara, and I'm very sad to see him leave Juve, I wouldn't be surprised to see him struggle a little bit.
I think that there's definitely something in that, and I think that's probably one of the reasons Juventus were maybe a bit, not eager is the wrong word, but kind of let him go a bit easily when they've seen that the Bonucci was available. Right, objectives then. This is easy. We've already said it. Champions League.
Yeah, I think...
It's literally simple as that.
I think a lot of people probably had that feeling the last two seasons. If you don't win the Champions League, the season is disappointing. I'm as I've said to you before, I'm not one of those people. I think if you win the league, you can't be disappointed, no matter what else you do. Obviously, if you go out in the group stage like Juve did with Conte, or you get smashed in the last 16 or the quarterfinals even, then yeah, that's a shame. But like Juve took it to Real, the winners of the last three seasons last season. And it wasn't a disappointing Champions League exit, I think. But I think with Ronaldo, with Bonucci, and then obviously spending quite a lot of money on Cancelo as well, as that was 40-something million. Mm-hmm. On a fullback. If Juve don't win the Champions League this season or next season, because I personally think that Ronaldo has probably got two seasons left as being one of the very best players in the world, and after that he's going to need more help, and Juve have signed him not to for a guy who needs help, they've signed him to be the guy who helps them get over the hump and win the Champions League.
Yeah.
That has to happen in the next two seasons, and if it doesn't, then the gamble for me has failed. You can talk about adding an extra million social media followers. You can talk about the share price going up by 34% in 4 days after Ronaldo signed. You can talk about the fact that every match has been a ridiculous amount of attendance. You can talk about the press conference for Ronaldo needing to be held in the VIP lounge of the stadium rather than in the conference room downstairs. Mm-hmm. Just because of the sheer number of journalists who wanted to come. But if they don't lift that trophy in the next two seasons, for me, the whole experiment of signing Ronaldo and justifying that 30 million after tax salary is a waste, because that is the one reason, and the one reason only, you sign a player of that caliber and agree to pay him that much money. Yes, all those other things are very, very nice, but
at the end of the day, it's like you say, trophies. That's why people.
Yeah, and I said to you when we spoke in April, like, Juve need to spend big money. They need to win the Champions League, because it's 23 years by the time the next final comes around. Mm. That's a long time. Like, if you want to be a big club and you want to win things, then
you need to do it now.
You need to do it. Yeah.
Do you think then that obviously this because I think I agree with what you said, that Juventus have kind of had the objective of Champions League for the last few years. Kind of Higuain and Pjanic, I think, were part of that as well. Do you think this season kind of looks like they've kind of added to that focus, that it could maybe even do you think it could distract them? Can you give anybody hope that Juventus aren't going to win Serie A?
No.
Obviously, I know you don't want to, but...
No, I honestly can't. As much as I would like to say, if Juve have a deep run in the Champions League and the other teams in Serie A push them close, maybe it would be close, as it has been as it was last season, wasn't it? Like, Juve got that Real Madrid tie and they took the eye off the ball a little bit, and Napoli got really close. But I think the best way to explain why I don't believe that anybody else has a chance in Serie A is if you look at the Juve squad and you consider the fact that if Juve have a difficult Champions League tie in March or April, Max Allegri might do something that he's never done before and rest his entire starting 11 to focus on the Champions League, because, as Agnelli said, the Champions League is the focus. Okay, so if we take that as an experiment, that Juve might rest their entire starting 11, look at the 11 that they would still be able to put out on the pitch. They would be able to start Mattia Perin, Di Ciglio, Bazzali and Rugani, or Bazzali and Benatia. They would be able to start Spinazzola at fullback. They would have in midfield, if you take out Pjanic, Chan and Matuidi as the regular starters, you would have Khedira, Marchisio, Bentancur. If you say the attack is Douglas Costa, Dybala, Ronaldo, then you can play Mandzukic, Bernardeschi, Cuadrado. And I'm sorry, but
like the second team would win the league as
well. If unless you're like Roma, Napoli, Milan or Inter and playing very, very well, that team is going to beat every other team in Serie A anyway. Mm. And that's not allowing for, well, maybe somebody from the regular starting 11 got suspended, so they would need to play in the league, blah, blah, blah. They have 25 players who would start at any other team in Serie A. I don't think that now Sturaro is at Sporting Lisbon. I don't think there's a player in the Juve squad who would kind of not get into the other teams in Serie A. I have a WhatsApp group with a group of friends who are all Juve fans, and Sturaro's been the...
Is he like the fly in the ointment almost?
He's been the whipping boy. Like, why do we have shit players like Sturaro? And that's... But who is Juve's worst player now? Like, who is Juve's worst player? It's like Mattia De Sciglio, who starts for Italy at right back, or Sami Khedira, who's won the World Cup with Germany.
You're struggling. Like, that's a good question. Who is Juve's worst player?
I'd maybe go
Marchisio, because he's not played very much.
Personally, I think it might be Bernardeschi, because I think he's got the potential, but he's not there yet. I think De Sciglio is good when he's not injured. Obviously, you have.
There's a question, everybody. Who is Juventus's worst player?
Who is Juve's worst player, man? It's a difficult thing. I mean, some people don't like Blaise Matuidi. Some people don't like it, like me. Don't like Sami Khedira. Blaise Matuidi just started the World Cup final and won. Like, what are we talking about? For me, I think it's Sami Khedira, because I think the guy died about 2 years ago and nobody's realised yet. He's a terrible footballer.
It's when FIFA changed his haircut. That was when it all died for him.
I've watched 5-10 minute spells of the season where he just shadows the referee running around in circles without ever touching the ball, and you see games where he's made 16 passes and no tackles in 90 minutes of action, and it's like, what? And I get, like, he's not involved in everything, but he plays really well against the smaller teams. Like, he got a hat-trick against Udinese, but he's terrible. But that to get back to the actual point, the fact that Juve's worst player is probably somebody who's won the World Cup in the last 4 years is quite insane.
Do you think that means that Juventus are, like Agnelli said, they've transcended Serie A? Like he said, I think they wanted to, but they're just so much better, and not just on the field, but in every facet of running a football club, they're just miles ahead of everybody else.
I think the problem is that because Juve's success has been so sustained over the past few years, they've kind of seen out cycles from all the other teams. Like, we saw Salah and Dzeko do really well for Roma, and then Salah and Alisson have both left. We saw Maurizio Sarri come and go at Napoli and do fantastic things. His team was incredible, and they came so, so close to winning the title. But I think both Roma and Napoli have taken a backward step this summer. I think it'll take Napoli a little bit of time to click again under Ancelotti. And obviously they lost Jorginho, who was kind of the embodiment of the way that they played, wasn't he? He was the figurehead of their style. And then Inter have gotten better, but what was the gap between Juve and Inter before Juve signed Ronaldo and Bonucci? Like 22 points?
A lot of points. And I think you said last season, I can't remember, was it Milan or maybe Inter as well? You're like, you can't make up 20 odd points in a transfer window, or if you do, then you're doing well.
Yeah, 20-something points is a huge gulf to make up before you look at the team who were 20 points ahead, added Cristiano Ronaldo and Leonardo Bonucci. It's like
23, you were almost there.
23, that's 8 wins. Where are you getting 8 wins before Juve even drop up? Where? You're just not. Like, Inter have got a...
To be fair, they've done really well. They've done business.
Inter have had a fantastic squad, a fantastic summer. They started off quite poorly, where they didn't take up their options on Cancelo, obviously, and Rafinha. But then they went out and they signed Vercaico and Nainggolan to fill those gaps. So that really helped. They were playing catch-up before Juve did anything. If Juve didn't make a single deal, they were still looking to make up 23 points. And they've done a heck of a good job of trying to do that. But now you're not talking about 23 points. Now you're talking about catching up to Ronaldo. And
I think Juventus, after they signed Ronaldo, this is before Bonucci and stuff like that, they were 12-1 to go the whole season unbeaten, which I know they've done before without Ronaldo. And like you say, like with the way the squad is now, like there's a very high chance that you could probably get 100 plus points and still not win the title.
Well, we've seen that in the past few in this time where Juve have been winning the league. We've seen Roma have set a new club record for consecutive wins and for the end of season points total twice.
Napoli just did it.
Yeah. Napoli just did it 3 years in a row under Sarri. They set a record points total every year with him, which is incredible in itself. It's an amazing accomplishment. Like, he should be really proud of that, and so should Napoli fans. But they've done that, and the closest they've got is within 4 points of Juve. Like, and that's not Juve's record point. Like, that's just Juve being Juve. Their record points is from Conte's second season, 102. But this is what you're up against. This is before Ronaldo and before Bonucci. And yes, obviously Juve are going to shift their focus elsewhere, but
every time they rest players now, you look at, as we just did before, you look at the guys who are going to come in. They're going to be hungry for more playing time. They're going to be eager to prove that they should be starting in the biggest games. Mm-hmm. They're going to feel scorned that they didn't start in the most recent big game and play with that chip on their shoulder. You look, and there's no weaknesses in that squad. If Sandro gets injured, Spinazzola comes in. If there's an injury in central defence, then you go back to the defence that was the best in the league last season. Like, if Cancelo is injured, you have last season starting right back. The midfielder, if you have a problem, you bring a World Cup winner in. If Dybala's not playing well, you've got Douglas Costa. If Douglas Costa's not playing well, you've got Cuadrado, Bernardeschi. It's endless. The options available to Allegri in terms of playing style. He can stick Mandzukic on and hump it long, and he's going to give you nightmares. It's just incredible the amount of weapons. They've got an answer for every kind of style that they could come up against, whether that's in the league or in Champions League. They can batter teams out of sight now, because we've seen with Ronaldo in the past, when you don't score all these goals for Real Madrid by accident. You score them because why beat Girona 3-0 when you can win 8-2? Because he wants to score six goals. That's the way that he is, and he's fully capable of doing it. I think you see with a guy like Higuain, who's fantastic, once he gets a goal or two, he kind of eases off.
He's like, I've done, that's me done. I've got my bonuses. Thank you very much.
Yeah, he wants to score every game that he plays in, and if he scored 38 goals in a season, that would be fantastic. But when you aim to score 38 goals a season because you want to score once every game, you fall a little bit short, you get 23. Ronaldo wants to score 100 goals by himself. Mm-hmm. And if you fall short, then you might get 50 or 40. And the difference is incredible. And I think that's what we're going to see with Juve this season, is you'll see for the first time probably in this era that them absolutely battering teams out of sight, because I think no matter what Allegri does, it's going to be impossible to stop the team having an amazing amount of attacking weapons on the pitch, because there are no Sturaros to send on. There are no... He can't really afford to play Mandzukic as a winger, because
he's got wingers.
He's got wingers, and he doesn't have another striker, so Mandzukic has to play when Ronaldo doesn't. So if he takes off Ronaldo looking to not score goals, Mandzukic will go there. So that will mean he has to have Costa or Dybala or Cuadrado or Bernardeschi as wingers. Mm-hmm. And then you're still causing problems. And Mandzukic will want to score. He's spoken about how annoyed he was at having to play out on the wing, about how he wants to be a striker.
I'm trying to dig here to see if we can find even a glimmer for people. Do you think Ronaldo being on the wages is odd? Do you think that's going to piss other players off? Do you think that it might cause friction in the dressing room? Because
it's Cristiano freaking Ronaldo.
I'm trying, man. Come on.
Like if you paid Higuain 30 million, you'd be like, oh shit, why are we paying that overweight guy all that money? What is going on? You can understand why that might cause someone rest. The guy's won 5 Ballon d'Ors. If he's getting paid more than me, he deserves it. Look how good he is.
I'm all out.
I think that the one hope for the rest
all right,
of the
right,
year,
right, people, go on.
Genuinely,
come on.
Is that Juve don't win the Champions League and you can laugh about it. Like that's what you've got. Like, and there are lots of fans of Serie A. Not lots of fans of Serie A, but there are plenty of fans of Serie A who, even though it's Juve, they'd be pleased to see an Italian team win the Champions League, because it would be great for Serie A. But all those others, all those actual, like, hardcore Inter fans, Milan fans, and Chievo fans,
they don't want Juventus
whatever,
to win anything.
They don't want Juventus to win it. They don't want Juventus to win a throw-in, let's be honest. So that's your hope.
Well, there you go, people. You have no hope.
Schadenfreude, that is your only hope.
Perfect, Adam. Right, quickly before we finish, we kind of touched on like Roma and Napoli and other. Is there kind of any other? Well, I think, like I said at the start, I'm quite excited by this season. Is there any kind of things that kind of caught your eye over the summer?
It's been a positive summer for Milan, if you can count having your entire club repossessed by a bank as a positive. They had an owner who clearly didn't have any money. We knew that last summer. We spoke about it. We tweeted about it. We got pasted by Milan fans for saying that this guy clearly has no money. Like when you go into a, I'm sorry, but when you go into a Europa League qualifying game and two of your big signings are not allowed to play because the bank won't guarantee their transfers, something is wrong with that. And Milan fans can bleat about, oh, it's standard and blah blah blah, whatever. That doesn't happen. Just doesn't happen. That will not happen to even to an Atalanta. They can play their entire squad when they play a Europa League qualifier because the banks believe they have the money to buy the players who they've said they're going to buy. The banks didn't believe that about Milan last summer, and we finally saw UEFA put FFP into practice and kick Milan out of Europe. And the only reason they didn't do that, because Milan spent too much money. They did that because they didn't believe Milan had the money to
Yeah, they reject the financial good. Model on.
Yeah, because obviously that's the technical answer, and that's what UEFA actually say in public. But if you look at the way that FFP has been implemented all across Europe, you can spend whatever you like as long as you've actually got that money. Look at Manchester City, PSG, Chelsea. They spend whatever they want, and UEFA go, yeah, but blah, 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 blah. And the real reasoning is because there's going to be no harm to the competitions because those teams are going to pay those wages all the time. Mm-hmm. They're going to pay that money for those transfers. They're not going to default on any payment. They're going to actually be there at the end of the season. I think UEFA were very dubious if under Yong-Hong Lee, if Milan's players would get paid, if the transfer money would get paid, if the club would even exist by the end of the season, if they let him carry on, because he just didn't have the money. And whether you want to believe that it was all locked up in China, or you want to think that the guy was a complete chancer who never had the money and managed to bluff his way to being in charge of AC Milan, then that's up to you. I know which one I think it is, and I know which one I think UEFA think it was. And they've gotten rid of him, and then Elliot have come in, who lent Yong-Hong Lee the money. And if you look into the history of Elliot, they lend money to people who they believe will not pay it back, whether that's the Argentinian government or a Chinese guy who wants to buy AC Milan. And when it happens, they repossess the assets, and then they turn it around to make the best possible profit. Mm-hmm. And the best way to make profit from AC Milan is to get them in the Champions League and then sell them.
Yeah.
So they've spent this summer making sure they do that. It's why they've got rid of Nikola Kalinic and signed players who actually want to play football.
Mm-hmm.
It's why they've gone and signed some excellent defenders. It's why
why they've signed Leonardo and they got rid of the hierarchy that was there before.
Because Mirabelli was the sporting director equivalent of Yong-Hong Lee. He was bluffing it. He had no idea what to do with all that money. And you could see that from his choices. And now they have actual people who understand football in place, like Leonardo.
And Paolo Maldini are back.
Paolo Maldini didn't want to know Silvio Berlusconi because Silvio Berlusconi was dodgy. Silvio Berlusconi left. Paolo Maldini doesn't want to know Yong-Hong Lee because he doesn't trust Yong-Hong Lee. Mm-hmm. Yong-Hong Lee leaves a bank who has repossessed the football club that Paolo Maldini has given his life to. And Paolo Maldini actually thinks that those guys are better than Silvio Berlusconi or Yong-Hong Lee. And 5 minutes later, he's back at Milan taking a job. And that is fantastic for Milan because that tells me that if Paolo Maldini believes it, then it's okay for Milan. Because Maldini,
exactly,
just like his father, have put AC Milan above everything else in their lives since before you and I were watching Serie A, adults. Cesare Maldini was Milan captain when they won the European Cup at Wembley in the 60s. And then Paolo Maldini started playing for them in the 80s. And now he's come back because he believes in what they're doing. And if he does, then so do I. Because you can look at what they're doing and you can see there's a tangible, coherent plan to the way that they're approaching it. And that's fantastic. It's great that people like Rosella are getting excited about Milan again, because Serie A is better when Milan are good. Like, for me, the best seasons in Serie A are always when Milan come second. Like, yeah, I'm a Juve fan. I want to see Juve win. But when Milan are good too, it makes everything better. When Milan are doing well in Europe, it's great. And you know as well as I do that once Milan get back in the Champions League, even though they're not the same Milan,
people
will be scared.
People will watch. People will go, we're playing Milan. Oh, crap.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter. Like, if you're like Tottenham, Tottenham have been Champions League regulars for a few years now. They've got a very good squad. They're deep. They're scary. They do really well. If they drew AC Milan in the Champions League, they'd be scared of playing AC Milan because it's AC Milan in the Champions League. Everybody's scared. Even Juve are scared when they play AC Milan in Champions League because AC Milan are bloody good.
That's the only time Juve are scared or would be scared of Milan in recent times if it was in the Champions League. Yeah, no, I agree completely. It's good. It's good for everybody, and I'm really excited about this season. Obviously, Juve travel to Verona, the wonderful city of Verona, on Saturday. So I want to finish our Juve podcast on Juve because I think it's a bit weird to finish it on Milan. It's Ronaldo's debut. Everybody, their dog's going to be there. Kiev are going to win, right? That's what's going to happen. All this that we've said about Juve and all their amazing players, Stefano Sorrentino is going to turn up and go, excuse me, this is my house. No goals. Sergio Pulisic here for the win.
1-0 Pulisic, that's what you're going to tell me, isn't it?
Of course.
Oh, dear.
Do you think it's going to Ronaldo? It's going to be like, right, this is going to be an absolute pasting.
Well, let's have a quick look. Juve have won 11 of the last 12 games against Kievo, and the last three have finished 2-0, 3-0, and 2-0.
I'm sure in a couple of them they were robbed. I remember watching them thinking, man, they were robbed.
Well, the last one was the one with the handcuffs, wasn't it? When the guy was off the field injured and then Juve scored. Look, we know exactly what to expect with Chievo, don't we? They'll give 125% until they go 1-0 down, and then they'll start thinking about the week after, because that's what Chievo do every week. I think it's very hard to see past a Juve win pretty much in any Serie A game this season, but I think against a team who's going to be in the bottom half of the table, or certainly closer to the bottom half of the table than they are to the top, it's a hugely daunting prospect.
It's going to be a sad day for everybody.
It's solely going to be about how many goals Ronaldo scores, isn't it? Nobody's going to really care if Juve win or if Chievo win or what. It's how many goals did Ronaldo score?
Yeah,
because that's what it's been the past 4 or 5 years with who scored most goals, Ronaldo or Messi.
He's not got any competition in Serie A. Who's going to score more goals, Ronaldo or Pulisic? It's not got the same ring to it.
No, but I think now that Milan have got Higuain, I think you look around the top teams in Serie A and there's some very good strikers.
Ronaldo versus Icardi versus Higuain versus Immobile versus Mertens.
Giovanni Simeone, Milik, whoever, man. It's great. And that's what we like to see. We want to see big players scoring great goals in Serie A. Yeah, well, unless you're a Chievo fan, and then, well...
We're just happy to see a goal.
What do you both think?
less of that.
I'm in WhatsApp groups that are bigger than Chievo season ticket holders.
He's keeping going. He's not stopping. He's keeping going, people. No, he's got more.
You know, it's It will be a tough game. I can make jokes about Chievo all day long.
Apparently it's going to be sold out, Adam. All the Chievo fans are coming out for the game.
Do we really believe that, though? Do we really believe it'll be sold out?
I think it'll be sold out.
But I think I looked for an article I was writing last week, and Chievo averaged 12,000 in a stadium that holds almost 40 last season, and their biggest attendance was against Juve, and it was 27,000. I think to sell out, it's going to have to be a lot of...
It's going to be full of journalists. Well, all the journalists arrive 3 hours early.
It might be sold out. But I saw the prices took a massive hike, and I think... But I also think it's in August. It's in a nice city like Verona.
It's going to be absolutely super disgusting.
There'll be a lot of
tourists.
Yeah, well, I was going to say Juve fans, but I guess tourists fits in just as well, because that's the reality, isn't it? When you sign a guy like Ronaldo,
everybody wants to go and see.
You attract football tourists, and it's not to criticize those people, say they're not football fans, but they're not going to be hardcore Juve fans who know the Juve songs and sing for 90 minutes.
They're
going to
go watch Atalanta and the Coppa Italia and the snow on a bloody Tuesday night at 6 o'clock.
No, you want to say they're not going to go watch Chievo, but they probably are. I think it's just the harsh reality, as we were talking before we came on air, that's going to be the reality of following Juve for the next few years, is there's going to be a lot more touristy fans coming to watch who... when Ronaldo leaves, won't go watch Juve again, and probably haven't been to watch Juve before, and it's going to make for a lot of sold-out stadiums. It's going to make for a lot of very quiet atmospheres too, and that's nothing new. It's disappointing to me as a Juve fan, because I like to watch my team with their fans making a lot of noise, and really the only kind of time you get to see that now is at away games at places like Torino and Atalanta and usually Chievo, but I think because it's Ronaldo's debut it'll be a little bit different. But I think it'll be a hard thing to watch Juve at home for the next few seasons, because the Juventus stadium's been getting quieter and quieter over the past couple of years, as it is already. The hardcore support is kind of being frozen out with the prices and the amount of tourists who want to go watch Juve, and a lot of season tickets now are being snapped up by fans who are not Torinese Juventini, which is a shame, because it dilutes the atmosphere, and as much as you want to see your team playing a full stadium, then you want to see it being noisy and being a difficult place to play, and it really just isn't from that perspective, at least. It's not to end on a sour note.
I was going to say, would we be positive? Serie A is going to be great.
Yeah, Serie A is going to be great. And merely a point to me as a Juve fan, it's when I used to watch them at what is now the Stadio Olimpico, where Torino play, and that was full, and both ends were full of Juve fans, with the away fans tucked in one corner, and everyone was singing. It was great. And now it's not like that anymore. And it's a shame. But hey, if you win the Champions League,
I won't be complaining. You'll care. You'll be like, you know, be as quiet as you want if you've got that.
I'll sing for everybody then. Forget about it. I'll come on your podcast and sing.
All right, there we go. I've got that recorded as well, people. He's going to sing if Juve win the Champions League. Can we pick the song?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. If Juve win the Champions League, I'll sing whatever you want.
There we go, everybody. We've got it. We've got it on tape. Right, Adam. A pleasure as always. Tell the people where they can get you on the social medias.
I have a Facebook page for work. I have a Twitter, as always, ADZ77 or ADZ if you speak American. Yeah, follow me there. I post my work there and say hi as well. You know, I talk to anybody, even you.
Yeah, well, not many people do, Adam. Not many people do. Sorry.
Yeah, but I talk to you because I see you at random stadiums like Genoa, Inter.
Well, this is true. It's like,
we can have a chat about
what's he doing?
Pan Deb's latest goal.
Christ, there you go. Right, Adam, absolute pleasure, and congratulations on the Scudetto, and we will catch up during the season.
Yeah, I'll talk to you soon, though.
Strisce, portaci dove vuoi, verso le tue conquiste, dove tu arriverai, sarà la storia di tutti noi, solo chi corre può fare di te la squadra che sei. Curva in festa, come un abbraccio noi, e ancora non ci basta. Ogni pagina nuova, sai, sarà ancora la storia di tutti noi. Solo chi corre può fare di te quello che sei.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.